Okay, so this morning I've been asked to kick off this five-part teaching series, Rich Towards God, which I think is a fantastic title. And what I'm going to be talking about is God Gives the Kingdom. I do have a PowerPoint somewhere, but if it pops up, it pops up. If it doesn't, don't worry, you just have to look at my mug for the rest of the time. There you go. Okay. So rich towards God, God gives the kingdom. You know, there's a story in the Bible where a man says that he found treasure. He found treasure in the field, and Jesus says that is the kingdom of God. He says that is worth selling all your possessions for, so that that man could attain that field and enter the kingdom of God. That man sold everything he had for the kingdom of God. So that to me is rich towards God. Is selling everything for the kingdom. You know, what is the kingdom of God, and what does it mean when in Luke 12:32 it says that for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That's you, by the way. Now, when I was 13 years old, I met a man called John Wimber. He was a friends with my mum and dad, and you know, I don't say that to name drop, but to say that I met a man who so hungered to see the kingdom of God come down on earth as it is in heaven, and that same hunger is what is passioning me this morning. That is the hunger that I want. So I'm just going to read you a little excerpt. The book's slightly battered. I think all the old books. There you go. Okay, it's from a book called Power Evangelism, and he wrote it in 1985. So I'm just going to read you this excerpt. It all started in 1962. A new Christian, I was to attend my first church service. I was excited about what God would do in the gathering. I was also naive. I'd rarely attended church services as a non-Christian. Having created an idealized picture of church life, built from only a few weeks of gleaning scripture, I was unprepared for what awaited. I anticipated training in spiritual warfare and equipping to advance the kingdom of God. Pop. I envisioned Chris. Is that the bulb gone? Never mind. There we go. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Still with me? Yeah. Good. Okay, I anticipated training in spiritual warfare and equipping to advance the kingdom of God. I envisioned Christians coming together, singing and praying, receiving encouragement or exhortation from Scripture, then dispersing throughout Orange County, California, to perform dramatic healings, expel demonic spirits, oppose evil authorities. Then I thought, we would return later in the day with new converts and reports of great miracles, overflowing with joy and worshipping God. It was a vision taken from the book of Acts. He goes on, he says, what I soon discovered was that most Christians do not come together to prepare for battle with Satan and conquer territory for Jesus Christ. They enjoyed talking about the battle. They usually prayed for victory. They sang and preached about the need to advance God's kingdom, even weeping for it. And then they went home to live secure lives, far from the battlefields. Christian doctrine, so tenaciously defended, was circumscribed by business, family, and recreational commitments. Upon reflection now, after my first church service, I felt cheated, because I joined Christ's army in order to do his works. Now, how many of us can relate to the latter part of that story somewhat? Just a little bit, even if it's... Okay, some of you can. Okay, well, it's fine. You're either all asleep or we've got Acts Church right here. Okay, now, how many want... I'm being serious. How many want to be in a position where they can relate to the initial depiction of church that John Wimber gives when it simply is taken from the book of Acts? Does anybody hunger for that in their lives? Okay, a few more hands. Not everybody, but we'll get you by the end. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Wow, it's working again. Oh no, that is... Sorry. Schoolboy. What did the term kingdom of God mean to Christ and his listeners? You know, for it to be the central theme of Jesus' preaching and teaching, I think it's probably quite important that we take note of it. You know, if we read the scriptures, you'll see Matthew speaking to the Jews about the kingdom of heaven, whereas in Mark and Luke it speaks about the kingdom of God. Both are interchangeable. It's just that one was aimed for Jews and one was aimed for non-Christians. Okay. So to fully understand, I think we have to look at the Old Testament first. We have to look at, you know, where did this idea of the kingdom of God come from? And the Jews at the time, Israel, was longing for the day of the Lord. They were longing for this day of the Lord, where the kingdom of God would come. Now, so the Old Testament prophets, they coined this phrase, and that is why they used it. And that is where it sprung from. But the people of Israel, they were looking for an anointed one. They were looking for somebody who would take them to that place. And that place was, you know, wasn't about, you know, what we might think, but that place was about political power. It was through military might that they were expecting the kingdom of God to come. And in John 6, we see that, you know, the people were there, they loved Jesus, and they said, oh, we're going to make you king, we're going to take you, and we're going to make you king. And even the disciples who spent so much time with him longed for that. They longed for the kingdom of Israel to be restored. They envisaged a kingdom populated by Jews. It was not spiritual and otherworldly. It was the dream of Jewish nationalism. So that is where this thing, the kingdom of God, came from. And that is what Jesus, you know, that is where people's idea was. And then we see Jesus totally transforming their minds. So, the New Testament kingdom of God. In the New Testament, John the Baptist kept on saying, you know, he was the forerunner for Christ, kept on saying, if you know, the kingdom of God is at hand, is so close, you can almost touch it. You know, it was so close, it was there, it was coming. And then we see Jesus saying the same thing. He says, you know, brothers, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then we see this change, this transition, when he says, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God came in Jesus. Matthew 12:28, Jesus says this. He says, but if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, I think he was driving out demons by the Spirit of God, so I believe that the kingdom of God has come. In him, the great future has become the present time. This Greek word, basileia, means kingship or royal rule. And that was the word that he used. That was the word, you know, he obviously spoke in, you know, Aramaic, so he didn't use, but the translation into Greek is basileia, which means kingship or royal rule. That was what Jesus was talking about. You know, when we think of kingdom, I think our conception is the UK, you know, the United Kingdom. It's a realm, it's a place, it's tangible, you know, it's just land. But the biblical concept is much more than that. The biblical concept includes being a realm, yes, but it's so much more, and it includes the rule over that realm. So when the kingdom of God has come, Jesus was saying, the rule over kingdom is here. When we look at Christ's pattern of ministry, it was twofold. The first thing he did was proclamation. He preached repentance and the good news of the kingdom of God. And then he demonstrated it. There was demonstration. He cast out demons, healed the sick, raised the dead, which proved he was the presence of the kingdom in him, the anointed one. In Matthew 16, we read that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. Now, Peter is the rock which God chose to build his church. We are the church. Agreed? Yeah? We're the church? Yeah. So you got the keys. We have the keys because Peter was the rock that God chose to build his church. So therefore Peter, you know, was given the keys of the kingdom, which means the church was given the keys of the kingdom, which means that you have been given the keys of the kingdom. A theologian called George Ladd wrote this. He said, "The keys are the spiritual insights and authority that enable Peter to lead others through the door of revelation." Now, when I think of a key, you know, I've got my car key in my pocket, and you know, I'm the owner of that car. You know, that is, I choose, you know, where to, you know, where it goes. I choose who can drive it. I give that authority. You know, if I've got the keys to my house, I'm the one who chooses who comes into that house and who comes out. You know, I'm the one with the keys to the kingdom. I'm the one that keys, the owner. Now, kingdoms embody three elements: a king, authority, and subjects. Jesus is the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His Father has given him all authority in heaven and in earth to him. And Christians, we are the subjects. Yet we are not subjects who have no authority, for we stand next to the king in authority with him. This thing of the kingdom might sound exciting, might sound daunting, might sound, you know, you might just think I'm off on one, but the kingdom comes at a cost. Christ proclaimed this. Mark 8:35 says, "Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Now, Christianity is not the coming together of, oh, isn't it lovely, we're on the cruise ship of Christianity and like all our troubles fly away, you know, we're all playing around with the ball on the deck, you know, and we're just having a great time together. That isn't the Christianity, that isn't the price that Jesus was talking about, the costly kingdom. Now, we're not on a cruise ship, we're on a warship, we're on a battleship, with torpedoes, missiles, guns, and all the weapons of warfare, looking, searching out those that need to be saved. It's a rescue mission. It's a battle. Paul tells us in Ephesians that our battle is not against humans, it is not against flesh and blood, but against Satan and his demons. We have the keys of the kingdom. We've been given the keys of the kingdom, the authority and power over the enemy. But if we do not exercise that power, then it is of no use to us. The kingdom of darkness is organized to distract us, to prevent us from doing God's bidding, through the glitter of materialism, sexual immorality, power, the seeking after self-fulfillment. Satan diverts our attention away from the kingdom of God. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in my life when I've not been chasing after the kingdom. You know, when I've not been seeking the kingdom first. We need to get our attention back on him. Luke 12:31 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you." Let us not be distracted by worldly things. Let us not be impatient. Let us not choose what the world tells us to do, which is live for the day, live for the moment. We're living for eternity. Have that as your sight. Have that as your goal. Have to stop looking at the world and start looking at the cross. Focus on the cross. There's a call. In order to enter the warfare, we need to understand what it means to have power and authority in the kingdom. Luke 9:1-2, Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, "When Jesus has called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He gave them power." That's it. "He gave them power and authority to drive out demons and heal the sick." It's amazing. You know, to me, if we step into the Great Commission, if we actually, you know, read that and take on that we are called to do all the things the disciples did. We're called to learn all the things that they learned. Power is the ability, the strength and the might to complete a given task. Authority is the right to use the power of God. We have a choice whether we choose this cosmetic Christianity where it just focuses us on just doing what is good and not doing what is bad. I say this to you this morning as a real challenge. I say, don't focus on doing what is good, focus on doing what is God. If we stay at that point, then we're never going to enter into the fullness of the kingdom. Ephesians 2:10 states that God has already planned good works for us to do. They are God's works, not ours, and he longs to use us in acting out his will. If we begin to listen to the voice of the Father, rather than trying to distill Christian life down to a set of rules and principles, we are being rich towards him and showing Jesus and saying, Jesus, you know what? What you died for, restoring my relationship with the Father. Thank you. I want that. You know, if we spend time with God, if we spend time with anybody, their character starts to rub off on you. If we spend time with God, his character starts to rub off on us. You know, his heart becomes our heart, his ways become our ways. You know, if we followed his commands, if we followed every single command he gave us and were obedient to him, there wouldn't be any time really left for sin. We are instruments of the kingdom. The works of the kingdom are performed through us. Thus our purpose is to witness about what God has done, is doing, and will do. Like Jesus, we have come to do the will of the Father. Luke 11, when asked how to pray, Jesus said this. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." When you read that same story in Matthew 6, you know, it goes on and Matthew adds this. He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Excuse me. In Luke 11, Jesus continues to teach on prayer. You know, sometimes I think we think that his teaching on prayer kind of stopped there at, you know, amen. But Jesus was carrying on to teach them about prayer. And he goes on to tell them a story. Goes on to tell them the story of a man who knocks on the door, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, wants some bread. And it says, you know, if you read in verse 8 of Luke 11, you know, it was not because the man was a friend, but because of his boldness that the man came down and gave him some bread. Because of his boldness. Verses 11 to 13 goes on to talk about knocking on the door. Knock on that door and it will answer. It will be opened. If we don't ask, we don't get. When we ask, we need to come boldly. We need to knock, 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 knock until that door is opened. Because Jesus teaches us to come with boldness before God and he will answer our prayers. Now, through preparing this teaching this week, and kind of where it all stemmed from really was Luke 12. Now, Luke 12 is an incredible part of the Bible, but you know, I've been reading it over and over again this week, and what I see is Jesus telling them to not be afraid. Jesus is telling them, don't be afraid. My Father loves you. So I say this to you this morning. Don't be afraid of what people might think of you. Don't be afraid of what they might think if you dance like a lunatic up here and you go bonkers and you bang a tambourine or you bounce a ball round. Don't be afraid. We can't have the fear of man. It's holding us back from doing God's will. God loves you so very much. He loves you. He loves me. He loves you so very much. He is so for you. He knows you so well. Get that this morning. Get that. Get that knowledge that God loves you so much. He is so for you. He knows you so well. You are so precious to Him. You know, He loves you so much that He's given you the power and the authority that anything you ask of Him in the name of Jesus, He will give to you. I haven't got time to read out all the scriptures this morning. In John, you know, if you look in John 15, there's tons of times Jesus saying, anything you ask of God in my name, I will give it. He will give it to you. And so when I started off, I read Luke 12:32, where it says, God is pleased to give you, to give us the kingdom. Focus on God. Let's not get distracted anymore by the world. Let's be rich in this. Let's be rich in focusing on Him and saying, I seek the kingdom first. Now, this is what Scripture tells me. This is what Scripture says to me. Now, you're probably thinking this morning, like myself, that perhaps my experience may not always back this up. That when we see all the signs and wonders in the Scripture, when we see simply Jesus, you know, and the disciples, you know, healing people, raising the dead, casting out demons, that, you know, perhaps we don't see that every day in our church. Perhaps we don't see that every day in our lives. We might do. God bless you. I know for me personally, I don't see that. But do I want to be a preacher of my experience, or do I want to be a preacher of Scripture, of what the Word of God, the living Word of God, says? Today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Turn to the Father. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. So it might be quite apt to speak about how our Heavenly Father, how our Daddy up there, has given us the kingdom and how we should honour Him in acting it out, in stepping out in the fullness of that promise, in the fullness of the gift that He has given to us. Now, my dad, Ian, he lives in the States at the moment. My mum and dad live over there in North Carolina. I'll get to go and see them in a few weeks. And yeah, we're actually going out there, and it's going to be their centenary, their century, whatever the correct word is there. It's their century. They're both 50 this year, and going out, you know, having a big party and stuff like that. So it's their joint birthday, so they've decided they're 100 together. I don't think they'll get a telegram. But, you know, when two become one and all of that. My dad's got cancer at the moment. My dad's got cancer of the colon. And he's had it since January. And so perhaps when I pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, when I pray that, that means that I'm praying for the healing of my dad. That means that I'm praying for him to be healed in Jesus' name. And I've prayed, and I've prayed, and he's prayed, and other people have prayed, and we're continuing to do so. But do I stop when I knock once and the door doesn't open, or do I knock again? And then if it doesn't open, then do I knock again? If I'm going to be persistent in my prayers and say, God, give me healing in my father, just like that man shouted at the top of his voice, give me some bread at 2:00 in the morning. Am I going to do that? Am I going to keep doing that? Am I going to keep being persistent? Am I going to hunger after the kingdom of God so much that I'm so desperate that I can't think about anything else, that my focus is on the kingdom? Am I prepared to do that? Well, I'm going to try. You might know what I'm talking about this morning. You might feel like there's stuff that you've been asking God for in your lives that, you know, you haven't seen an answer to yet. I say knock again. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking God for the miracle you need in your life. The kingdom of God is present, and we have all we need in faith and in a Father who longs to give it to us, to see it come down to earth this morning. I want to activate you this morning. I've been rabbiting on for a little while, but in a moment, we're going to activate the body. We're going to activate you this morning. You know, I just think, you know, we're going to take communion and we're going to spend some time doing some family stuff. And then after that, I'm going to invite you. It's an invitation. It's not a command. It's an invitation. If you want to stand up and you want those around you to pray for you, to pray for your healing, physical healing, because when Jesus declared the kingdom of God has come, when he proclaimed that, he demonstrated it in signs and wonders to show that the kingdom of God was there. That was the evidence to back up what he proclaimed. So as we take communion together this morning, I encourage you to think on what you've heard. Think on what I've said. Test it with God. And you know, when we come to our time of ministry and you want to respond to that invitation, that'd be great. And those of you who are totally fit and healthy, who, you know, haven't got anything wrong with you physically, you just want to hunger to see healing in those around you, then you have the privilege of praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to pray in that healing, to proclaim it, to ask God in boldness for that miracle. And just say, we're open, Holy Spirit, to what you want to do. We're open, God, to whatever your will is. Your will be done, God. Your will be done. Amen. Go in. Thank you.